The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Radio AM 640. 3 times. This is A View from Space with the Spaceman on Talk Radio AM 640.
I'm the Spaceman. This is A View from Space. I'd like to welcome you in if you're driving around right now listening to AM 640. I welcome you in. Or if you're listening at work right now, possibly by the AM 640 app, I welcome you in too. Or if you're listening to me right now on Shaw Direct on Channel 865, I welcome you in also. Or if you're listening to me in your 3 or 4G personal communication device by the Stream the World software, I welcome you in. Or maybe you're what some call sitting in the best seat in the house, checking out A View from Space, sitting in front of your Mac or your PC, logged onto AM 640 website, 640toronto.com, picking up the live audio streaming there. I welcome you in wherever you are in the world. I welcome you in. Another Illuminati event, and you will hear something in just a few moments, only a few moments away, what really, really, truthfully happened. An understanding of the forces that are right now shaping our lives isn't predicated on facts to be learned, but on secrets to be discovered. There's a lot of secrets that remain in the shadows because they are too horrific to describe and far too outrageous to be believed. And what I'm going to say in a few moments, many will say, that's outrageous, too outrageous to be believed. This is why we're told not to investigate the occult, for instance, because we may not like what we learn about ourselves or those who are governing us. On this show, I attempt to share things I find by my research in order to understand it. There must be people with ears that will listen, though. That's you. Now, you and I have the power of discernment, and we can look into what is truth and what may not be the truth. It's time to use honesty and be prepared for what may be a shock to the system. Many people are trapped in their own programmed belief systems, unaware that there are others who want to exploit and use those beliefs against them for the purpose of enslaving them. Mind control for the agenda of the powerful. There are many who still are not yet ready to accept that they've been lied to and betrayed. What the world is calling now the 2016 Fort McMurray wildfire began last Sunday, when a wildfire began southwest of the urban service area. They call it a city, but it's actually just an urban service area, not big enough to be a city. It's only a little over 61,000 population. Called Fort McMurray here in Canada, and the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Alberta. just 36 hours later. By Tuesday, this fire that started on a Sunday swept through the entire community, destroying more than 1,600 homes and buildings and forcing the largest evacuation of residents in the province of Alberta here in Canada's history. The scene? An unusually hot, dry air mass put into place over northern Alberta through chemtrailing, which brought record-setting temperatures to Fort McMurray and that area. Earlier this week, on that Tuesday, the temperature actually climbed to almost 33 degrees Celsius, 91 Fahrenheit, which was accompanied by a very, very low relative humidity, due, of course, to the immense heat that was brought about in the upper atmosphere by the intense chemtrailing. The relative humidity reached as low as 12%, creating the perfect firestorm, if you want. You see, this would be a red flag to anyone on the prairie. I grew up there. It would be a red flag to anyone on the prairie that the conditions were ripe, weather-wise, for a fire to roar out of control. The situation intensified the very next day, the Tuesday. Started on the Sunday, burned on the Monday, Tuesday threatening, Wednesday, May 4th, when temperatures reached 33, almost 33 degrees, and the hot winds gusting up to 72 kilometers an hour really set the stage. Now, let it be known now, no one is questioning the authorities on why that town was not evacuated long before the fire even reached there. There was no reason, no need for a panic-stricken horde of people climbing over one another to get out of town. And on one access route only. You know what it reminds me of? Those club fires they have over in Europe and occasionally once in a while in North America where the people are trapped. Someone forgot to keep the emergency exit door open. It was locked. And they all burned to death. Fort McMurray has one way to get out of town, north or south. One highway. So let it be known now, no one is questioning the local state of emergency and the authorities that were responsible for this, calling the evacuation late. But instead, the Illuminati-controlled mass media did what? They played upon your emotions. They went right after the human interest stories. There was no explanation of how that fire comes so close to that town at a moment's notice. No person, no weatherman, no authority even attempted, let alone explain it. So I want you to know, the local state of emergency was initially declared last Sunday, the day the fire started, with a trailer park only, and the neighborhoods of Prairie Creek and Gregoire. And they were put under a mandatory evacuation. By law, you got to get the hell out. But that's it. The fire's raging. Oh, just a trailer park. Just the neighborhoods of Prairie Creek and Gregoire. Everybody else is okay. But that's it. Then, if you can even believe this, shortly after the evacuation orders for those two neighborhoods, reduced to a voluntary stay-in-place order. They first said mandatory evacuation, then it said, no. And I bet you this is the first time that you're even hearing this, because no one has talked about the authorities' role in this pandemonium of the last week. So after they lifted the mandatory evacuation and put in place what they call the voluntary stay-in-place order, we're told by the Illuminati-controlled mass media that the fire began moving southwest and away from the area, they said. Then, after a few hours more went by, the authorities went into a waiting mode. Then, all of a sudden, boom, they reinstate the mandatory evacuation order that was originally given hours before and expanded it to 12 more neighborhoods. They didn't evacuate the whole city then even. No. The fire was burning for around 3 days at Fort Mac. And the entire evacuation of Fort McMurray was not ordered until Wednesday after 6 p.m. This is Spaceman. I'm just getting started. Back with more right after this on ABFS. This is AM 640. I'm a guy they call Space. It's a view from space on talk radio, AM 640. I communicate by only one way. Email to addresses, space@640toronto.com or spaceman@640toronto.com. Thanks for the one you sent, as I say, every week, because it happens every week. They roll in before the show even begins. DB writes, I still have tons of chemtrail pictures, but I don't know who to send to. I'm mad. Well, chemtrails were used to create the heat over northern Alberta in the Wood Buffalo region, that municipality that has Fort McMurray as the, well, the urban service center for the oil patch up there in northern Alberta. So let me just recap for you again what I talked about before the break. No one is questioning the authorities. They declare last Sunday a trailer park, that's when the fire started, or coming close to the city, town really, a trailer park, a couple of neighborhoods, Prairie Creek, Gregoire, under a mandatory evacuation. Then they lift it. They say, oh, there, the fire is going to pass us by. Yeah. It's like, sort of like, I don't know, a semi-trailer truck on highway. No, it's the prairie. It's hot as hell. Unusual, incredibly unusual for that time of year. Chemtrails did the heat build up. And the fire joining with that heat that was already up around 35, 36,000 feet above was even creating its own weather. And you're going to tell me you know that the fire is moving away, going in another direction? No, it jumps all over the place. As a prairie kid, I know this. Brush fires will do that. If there's one anywhere near you, you're threatened. Doesn't matter what way the wind's blowing, because it can change in a few minutes. You telling me the authorities do not know or understand this? Yes. So they lift the evacuation order for those neighborhoods, the mandatory evacuation, then put into a reduced level, a voluntary stay-in-place order. Oh, wait a minute, we were wrong. You don't really have to go. You can go back, stay there, and hold. Then a few hours more go by as the authorities go into their waiting mode. And then all of a sudden, as I stated before the break, boom,
They reinstate the mandatory evacuation order that was originally given hours before and expand it to 12 more neighborhoods. It's threatening the city now. They didn't evaluate what was going on, I guess. Or did they know? They didn't evacuate Fort McMurray until Wednesday after 6 p.m. when it was about to get dark. The time exactly was 6:49 p.m. A little hint for you here. In numerology, breaks down to a 10. 10 is the number of law. That's when the mandatory evacuation law was put in place, where everyone had to go, lawfully had to pick up their belongings and leave. Right down to the time of day, 6:49 p.m. A 10, the number of law. They didn't order the evacuation of that town until late Wednesday. And there was only one way out. 61,000 plus. One way out. North or south? Fire was coming from the north. Everybody wanted to head south. Then the highway was closed. People were panicking going, then we got to go north. They went north. More on that in mere moments. Right here on AVFS Talk Radio, AM 640 and a view from space. Look at Highway 63 is the only way out. Could I remind you, 6 and 3 are 9? Breaks down to a 9 in numerology. The escape route, the only escape route. Coupled with the date of the evacuation of Fort Mac, May 4th, another 9. 5 for the month of May, and 4 for the day. Satan's favorite number. Twice now. Oh, throw in the year 2016. And you guessed it, another 9. And guess what magically appears in the escape route? The year and the date. 6, 6, 6, upside down. 3 9s inverted. This devastation happened upon those Albertans. And it was heaped upon them. This furious, fiery, closing crescendo to what I really understand to be the close, the crescendo of the Feast of the Beast ritual that I've been talking about for the past few weeks. And if you're a regular listener to AVFS on AM 640, you will know the beast, the sacrifice at this particular time of year is dedicated to Moloch. Known as Baal also. And blood sacrifices are done by how? How? Fire. By burning. Flames consuming the victims. This event provides the images to the Illuminati-controlled mass media all week to send a message to the world. Because it wasn't people that were the victim here. Because after all, the death of people being burned up is May 1st. This happened May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So just right after. No deaths reported, but there was a death or is a death, and I'll tell you about it right now. That death is included in the message that was sent with these incredible images shot round the world. When you make it on BBC, the biggest brainwasher of them all, it's a global event. And the BBC never runs any story that does not support, push, promote the global agenda. Yes. The message clearly to the world with those pictures shot right around this globe was the oil and gas industry is going up in smoke and flames. That's why the very epicenter of the oil sands, as they're known, was a carefully chosen target. Fort McMurray is located in the far northeast of Alberta, smack dab in the middle of the Athabasca oil sands, and surrounded by a boreal forest. Oh my! All of the ingredients there for an Illuminati event with fire. The Athabasca oil sands, by the way, have played a huge role, a leadership role, in fact, in the development of Canadian national petroleum industry, which the elitists, the globalists, are totally against. And the oil sands, a very expensive way of getting oil out of the ground. It's mixed with sand. Very expensive. Also, fracking, very expensive. Those are the two ways. Those are the two oil reservoirs that the Illuminists want to eliminate. They'll even tell you, the Saudis want to first kill oil sands and fracking. The globalists are pushing the Saudis. This fire follows directly on the heels of what? The signing of the Paris Agreement. Climate change. Carbon taxes are coming. 170 nations just a couple of weeks ago put pen to paper, putting their money where their mouth is, because now it's legally binding to cut greenhouse gas emissions starting the year 2020. It's all been engineered to wean the economies off of the world's dependency on oil. And just a few days, April 22nd, they signed it. Just a few days after that, you have the oil patch fire that, through the procrastination of calling an evacuation, had just blown to smithereens a whole town, a whole industry, really. That's your victim. That's your death. How big do they want this to be? How severe? This wildlife leading to the evacuation of a town in the middle of Canada's oil sands, which forces its residents to abandon their homes on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you, if you understand my meaning, which is the Black Sun. Getting to that in a few minutes, right here on AM 640, Talk Radio, and A View from Space. Yes, it's May 2016. Just 3 years until the Illuminati's date of 2020 that is due for cutting carbon dioxide out of the air. No, I tell you now, this was a job done by specially hired arsons who work for the globalist elite, and that fire was deliberately set. Back with more in a moment. I'm going to gotta call Space. It's View from Space. Talk Radio, AM 640. Email's the only way I communicate. I got a couple of addresses. Feel free to use it. Space at 640toronto.com or spaceman at 640toronto.com. DR writes, you're a numbers guy, probably really good at math. Thank God we didn't lose you to math like Einstein. You're the only person I trust in the world right now. And I know your plate's full tonight. Just giving you a little brotherly juice. And one more from S.Y. I'm 12. And I even know it's on purpose. All right. No one questioned the authorities but me. No one. No one even explained. I bet you didn't even know that there was an evacuation order. Then it was lifted to a stay-in-place hold. And then all hell broke loose. They waited. They played the waiting game. It was deliberately set. Oh, of course, the evidence is going to be covered up. Don't worry about that. Many crimes have been covered up by fire. We're dealing with professional, psychotic people who know what they're doing. They're killing the oil sands in Canada with one fell swoop, one blow. This is going to drive the price of oil up or down sooner or later. Just how big is the Illuminati mass-controlled media playing the story up to be? To give it an extra push? The effects of this wildfire, we're now being told, is going to ruin the entire Canadian economic forecast for the year of 2016. They're effectively cutting the forecast from what they called, and there is no growth, believe me, they're forged, fake, lying numbers, 1.3% growth. Lie. But that lie was chopped to, effectively cut, to zero. That's right. The Canadian economic outlook for the year now is cut from 1.3% growth to zero. Yes, this was a direct assault on the people. I repeat, the people. Not only the Illuminati's assets. The oil patch companies in the Athabasca tar sands were cast, are being cast right now as heroes. Yes, I said heroes. How? They were portrayed as benevolent and openly generous saviors. Here's proof. The resounding images that were beamed around the world as millions upon millions watched a population of an entire town of a little over 61,000 run for their lives, chased out by a raging colossal forest fire. Almost all residents of Fort McMurray, by the way, work in the oil sands projects or work for business that supports those people who do. So what I'm telling you is Fort McMurray is there for one reason only, to support the business being done up there, the oil sands. So it was on Tuesday. Fire started Sunday, burned all day Sunday, all day Monday. Then Tuesday, the Alberta oil sands operators cut their production. And not because of the fire. No, not because of the fire. Then they threw their doors open to evacuees down south of them in Fort McMurray, as uncontrolled wildfires forced all of their residents out of that town, out of their homes on Tuesday night. Most oil sands projects, by the way, are 30 to 100 clicks north of the city, out of the reach, interestingly enough, of the flames approaching from the southwest. Yeah. Oh, the arsons did a wonderful job. Missed the oil company's assets and hit a town. The only huge population area in the whole of that area. It's like we're talking wilderness up there. There's only one great urban center of only 61 thou. It's Fort McMurray. So the oil companies are well equipped to provide temporary shelter, as they're normally home to thousands who fly in and fly out, workers from the Atlantic provinces and other parts of the country even. Yeah, they have airports up there. They have their own aircraft service. The oil companies turned their work camps into temporary shelters for the fleeing residents of Fort Mac, sending non-essential workers from other parts of the country home in chartered aircraft from their own airstrips. The fire has hampered efforts to get out of town. Thousands of trucks and cars clogged the only exit route, Highway 63. I will only remind you again, a 9. At one point, flames closed off the southern route to Edmonton, forcing evacuees to turn around and head north again to the oil field sanctuary. You see what I mean here? The assets of the oil and gas corporations were not threatened at all. This is what I meant when I said that it was very special arsonists who set this blaze. Professionals who have such knowledge. But the Illuminati-controlled mass media didn't even play on any of what I've just told you about. They played on the dramatic human interest. Video of a large town being consumed by ferocious flames. Like a movie, everybody said. Like a movie. Everything's a movie. No, this is real life. Those flames appeared to not only engulf most of the town, but also filling the entire sky above with flaming embers and thick smoke. As panic-stricken population trying to escape ran a gauntlet of fire on both sides of their only escape route, the only north-south route out of the region, Highway 63. Houses left behind to burn up. Pets, they played on the pets, too, that were left there to burn. There was even video of the inside of a home streaming live by their camera that they set up, watching their house being consumed by fire, showing to the world. It looks like a war zone, many said. How's it possible that this was deliberately set? Who, many would say, and there's no one who would ever do such a thing. Oh, you don't believe it? The elites would never do such a ghastly thing? Well then, what about World War I and World War II that made this firestorm in northern Alberta, Canada, look like a bonfire? No, they are Nazis. They are the real Nazis that are perpetrating this. The globalists are killing the oil industry. And just a few days, a couple of weeks after signing the Paris Accords, a devastating fire wipes out an entire huge town. Where? In the center of the oil patch. And there's someone out there that's still sitting there going, well, that was just a coincidence. Yeah. I tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. History is repeating itself. The Nazis won World War II. They just killed an army and moved up to the next level of their trek to global domination. And are at it, have been at it once again this week, all week, in the country of Canada. A Commonwealth country, by the way. It's a Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. More on the other side of the break. I'm going to call Space. It's a View from Space on Talk Radio, AM 640. Yes, the fire in Fort Mac was deliberately set. Get it? Email. Just let me call him M. Calls himself listener from Nova Scotia. Hi, spaceman. Just heard you say the fires were deliberately set. I've waited all week to hear that. Please keep sounding the alarm. Thanks for having the guts to tell the truth. Oh, here's one more. I would suggest an American indigenous person. Constitution facts. Second Amendment added so Americans could kill Indians. Terra nullius, a fraud. Doctrine of discovery, a fraud. Discovery of Canada and the United States for the king. The Constitution is a fraud. Those who defend the Constitution are fraudsters. Me. You are on stolen indigenous land. You. No, I'm not. Who's lying? End of the email. Did you know that the tar sands, like the oil in the tar sands in the Athabasca tar sands, was a trading post before, by the way. Okay, up and around that area. Beaver. Bringing it all down. Hudson's Bay Company fighting with the Northwest group. And basically, the oil could actually be picked up by your hand in the sand. You know what the Cree used to use it for? Waterproofing their canoes. They'd melt it up and then cool it over all the cracks. Be perfect. That's how plentiful the oil is up in the Athabasca oil sands. The first European explorer, Pete Pond, came to that region in search of furs, beaver tails, as the European demand for this commodity at the time was really strong. In that Clearwater River, Athabasca River area. Originally Cree land taken from them. As the Northwest Company fought with the Hudson's Bay Company for dominance. The town, Fort McMurray, was actually named after an American, William McMurray, who was one of the first students of New York University, by the way. He was a member of the New York State Assembly in 1841, 1842, and 1843. He was also a member of the New York State Senate in 1852 and 1853. And William McMurray, who Fort McMurray is named after, was also a member of the Board of Commissioners of the Metropolitan Police of New York City. An American. All right. I have to tell you that there are things happening in our world that seem strange until you know the agenda of the elitists. The Illuminati, as I call them. The movers and the shakers of the world who are shaping our world, as I stated at the very beginning of this show. There is nothing new under the sun. They just simply repeat history over and over again. And it will not stop until the new world system is in place. The chaos is being created to reshape the world to that agenda. The Nazis won World War II. As I said, they just killed an army and moved on to the next level of their trek toward global domination. The power that set up the Nazi regime are behind this new push. The one that includes this global financial crisis, this terrorism. It's not, I repeat, not going to go away. It'll only get worse. Because they're going to create the chaos until they have their new system in place. I mean, if the super rich Arabs are having problems paying their bills because the Saudis even are now going to the banks, the European banks, to borrow money, it must be bad. And the global war on terrorism, it'll go the same way. It'll get worse. Add to that the coming bill that's soon to be handed to us for the price to be paid for this climate change, this black magic spell called climate change, and you have a word that's very eerily similar to to what it was like in Nazi Germany in the 30s. So, this world is very close to what Nazi Germany was like in the early 30s. So what happened? In the early 30s in Germany, what was their solution? History repeats itself. There's nothing new under the sun. They did what the Illuminati have always done. Destroy that empire and replace it with a new and even larger one. So, of course, Germany mobilized, went to war. When a country runs out of funds and is in incredible debt, as Germany was in the early 30s, which is the way the world is now, not just a country, the world is in deep debt, the world will have to mobilize. It's been done before, over and over. Hitler's original intent, was to morph Nazi Germany into a global Atlantis. That's what he thought. He was convinced it could be done because he belongs to the elite Illuminati. Hitler did. As per his instructions from his overlords, who were members of the Black Sun secret society, they were the ones, not Hitler, who were causing the chaos to bring about the final empire, the Golden Age. Hitler was their puppet, told that he was going to be the leader of this new global entity that would arise out of the Second World War. When he won, Hitler's original intent was to morph Nazi Germany into a global Atlantis. As per his instructions from his overlords, who are, as I said, the members of the Black Sun secret society. The Black Sun, what the hell is that? Oh, the Black Sun? Egyptian symbolism was the basis of Babylonian symbolism. This symbolism is, for example, reflected in the Catholic Church. But not just Christianity, also in Islam and Judaism. The Pope is often presented with the sun on a staff in his hand with hundreds of spokes coming out of the circle, representing the sun's golden rays, of course. If you'll notice, there's even a black ring around the circle of the middle that represents the sun. The black sun, Saturn, is often symbolized as the black cube or the black box. This is the black box that Orthodox Jews wear on their forehead. But it's also the black cube in Mecca where the faithful Muslims are circling around. Masonic symbolism is filled with Egyptian Akhenaten symbolism. This symbolism refers to, as all religions worldwide, stems from Aton-Ra worship, sun worship. Symbols of that old Babylonian system are still around us every day, the black sun. In fact, the head office of the European Union, which is in Strasbourg, and on one day of the week, it's on a Friday, all EU staff ritually visit that building, which actually represents the unfinished Tower of Babel. To the elites, by the way. The Tower of Babel was to be the center for world dominance with Nimrod. Now they've built another one in Strasbourg. And it is the unfinished Tower of Babel to the elites. The EU. Aton-Ra cult is based on Saturn worship. The Ra, Akhenaten, Nefertiti's worship is actually the worship of the Dark Sun, also called the Black Sun. And the Black Sun is another name for Saturn. Why is Saturn called the Black Sun? Well, this refers to the so-called Golden Age of Saturn, or the Age of Saturn, where there would have been a period in which Saturn was the central sun of a solar system. There was a great collision of the two solar systems, where our current sun would have taken its current position, and by this big clash of solar systems, Saturn was supposedly reduced to a mere planet, as it is today. It's intriguing to know that Plato, the Greek philosopher and mathematician, also spoke of a period in which the planets ruled the heavens from a different setup. More on the Black Sun and the elites and their plan for you and I, whether we like it or not, next on Talk Radio AM 640. I'm the guy they call the Spaceman at Talk Radio AM 640. The show is AVFS, A View from Space. I communicate by one way, and one way only. It's through email. Two addresses, space@640toronto.com or spaceman@640toronto.com. DH writes, sorry, I joined the show a little late. Oops. I just read on cbc.ca that the fire has been nicknamed the Beast. Didn't know if you had mentioned that. So glad you're on tonight. Signed, DH. CBC, by the way, for you out of the country of Canada, is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It's the government-owned news agency. Calling it the Beast. Because, you see, it was, at the end, the fiery crescendo of the Feast of the Beast this year that starts April 19th and goes for 13 days to May 1st, at which time the blood sacrifices by fire are finished. No victim, no human death was at what they're now calling the Fort McMurray wildfire of 2016. No one died, but it's the death of an industry called the oil sands. That's what's happening. And it's all about the Black Sun. Because you see, after all, fire is simply, to the sun worshippers, fire is the representative of the sun here on Earth. The Black Sun idea revolves around, as I said, a couple of universes clashing, solar systems clashing, and Saturn reduced to a mere planet as it is today, and our current sun takes over. Plato, the Greek philosopher, even talked about it. A period in which the planets ruled the heavens from a different setup. And the Black Sun idea basically revolves around Saturn worship, the worship of the ousted sun. And we all know that according to the King James Version of the Bible, Satan was banished from heaven, kicked out. Satan is therefore driven out. He is the driven out sun that wants to take the position back. Satanism is about the old sun, which is driven out of its position by the current sun. God casts Satan and his fallen angels from heaven. Since the Roman Catholic Church, with her behind-the-scenes ruling Jesuit order, based on this Masonic symbolism that I just spoke about, and that this again is based on the Egyptian symbolism, and can be attached to Akhenaten and Nefertiti and the worship of the driven-out sun, or Saturn, or Satan, if you like, you can safely say that Catholicism, in its deepest being, is Saturn worship, Satan worship. And that is quietly true for all religions around the world. You see, it's just history repeating itself. Another one of my emailers, hey Space, in the house from BC, let me call him CH, in the house from British Columbia on the 640 app listening, I'm sure the chemtrail particles in the air played a huge role as well, controlling rainfall, wind direction, and like I saw dust or flour in the air, increasing the available fuel. Keep it up, Space. And this strange one from I can use this person's real or fake name, because I believe it's a fake name. Jane Bond writes, I grew up in this mind control nightmare you speak about. I had many assignments. One of them was motorcycling through forested areas and starting fires for them. If people don't think they do this kind of thing, imagine your worst nightmare and then multiply it by 100 and you'll be in the ballpark. Keep up the good work, Space. Jane Bond. You make of that what you will. So, I believe the fire was deliberately set in Fort McMurray and effectively going to kill the oil sands. Already, the Canadian outlook economically reduced from a 1.3 growth to zero. All because of the fire at Fort McMurray this week. Yes, it's the Illuminati carrying out the age-old plan of morphing this system, this current system, into a global system. It was Hitler's original intent. The historical Nazi regime was peculiar enough, of course, but what most people don't know is that it was a cult in power. But after the war was over, the truth started to slowly eke out. The Nazi regime is now being increasingly portrayed as an empire of dark magic, which is exactly what is happening again. History repeating itself. Here, now, in our time. The belief spread that its rise and fall were not just uncanny but historically inexplicable. Its end to the Nazi regime was sudden and complete, so complete that the shards of evidence on the surface seemed less significant than the excavation of the occult underground. In some circles, the mythology had progressed even further. Nazi Germany became not just a vanished civilization, but also an ideal civilization, destined to rise again. It will be a powerhouse in the New World Order to come. Nicholas Goodrich Clark, probably the foremost serious scholar of the relationship between the Third Reich and the occult roots of Nazism, which he published in 1985. It's not the only good book on the subject, but boy, it's a great place to start. In Black Sun, he's mostly concerned with the development of post-war esoteric fascism, which is what we have going on now. Fascism. It's actually corporate fascism, which includes, but is not limited to, novel forms of magical Nazism. He's particularly concerned with its inflection into both terrorist politics and the mainstream New Age movement since, well, back in the 70s. He also argues that the social changes in Middle Europe that helped to plant the underground seeds of Nazi Germany 100 years ago are now happening again to a greater degree through the West. And he says he also draws dark inferences about what today's underground could produce by the year 2030. That's just 10 years, one decade after the Illuminati's current goal of 2020 being when we implement the climate change punishment for the world. The cleaning up of greenhouse gases, carbon taxes, driving countries so deeply in debt they'll never, ever see the light of the day. They're down so deep you'll have to pump sunshine to them. Most of the information in Black Sun has appeared somewhere else. But even people familiar with the literature will get a few surprises. For instance, ever heard of the pro-Nazi science fiction of Wilhelm Landig? Even though the author had to take the eyewitnesses at their word, the book has the first coherent account I've ever seen of the origins of the Order of the Nine Angles. These are the key figures of the immediate post-war period. The American renegade Francis Parker Yaki, Baron Julius Evola, who helped transform Nazi racism into a kind of, well, an aristocratic snobbery. Because that's what the New World Order is bringing now with its newfound political correctness and molding people's thoughts to all think alike, transforming them into an aristocratic snobbery, if you like. There are people who deified Hitler, made him as a god, or at least turned him into a messianic figure. Most well known as Savitri Devi and the former Chilean diplomat Miguel Serrano. They're the early American neo-Nazis, like James Madole, who combined Nazism and theosophy, Helena Blavatsky's creation, to create a vision of America as the new Atlantis. There are the greater and lesser Satanists whose ideas have tended to become more political and meta-historical with the passage of time. I've got more on this when I return from the break on Talk Radio AM 640. It's AVFS. I'm Space. Yeah, that's me. I'm the Spaceman. It's Talk Radio AM 640. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. Thanks for the one that you've sent me. I really appreciate it. I sincerely do. And I thank you so much for it. Now, the Black Sun, Saturn worship, Satan worship. It's been going on even before the Nazis. Started in Babylon, as I said. The Black Sun was really an idea that dates back to Nimrod. The Black Sun, by the way, have a ton of illusions in music because that's the way they put the black magic spell on everyone through entertainment and brainwash people. The Black Star. Recall that? Showcased here front and center not long ago. David Bowie's death. Black Star was his 25th. Breaks down to a 7, by the way, the number of spirituality. His final album, called Black Star. Saturn worship. Dark Star, the movie, released in 1974. An American comic science fiction flick. John Carpenter was the director. Dark Star, one word, an electronic music duo of today. Dark Star, with a space between the two words, dark and star, was an English psychedelic rock band formed in London in 1996. Remember the 60s rock band Deep Purple? They had a re-release of, are you ready? Their hit, Fireball, was recorded on a label called Dark Star. And finally, The Grateful Dead released the single Dark Star in 1968. Rated number 57, by the way, on the Rolling Stones 100 Greatest Guitar Songs All Time. How's that for programming? Yes, the Black Sun. Like in the Goodrich Clark book, Black Sun points out, it has the evidence that many of the Nazi leaders that were in Hitler's regime were well-schooled on black magic. Himmler, for instance, subsidized research into the occult subject. This included at least one SS man, Otto Rahn, who hunted across Europe for information about the Holy Grail. I believe that Rahn was a Satanist in the sense of sympathizing with Lucifer and agreeing with the Cathar rejection of the true God. In the book Mein Kampf, owned by the Austrian government, by the way, Hitler made fun of Volkish groups with their rune magic and their attempts to revive Nordic paganism. I believe Hitler saw them as unclean, backward pagans who were not enlightened as he was. See, he was an initiate. They were not. I believe that Hitler was actually being told that he was the one the world was waiting for. So only he knew what was best for them. They certainly didn't. I believe that someone else is now being readied to be the Antichrist, being told that he is the one that the world is waiting for. I believe that Hitler, like this new coming leader, was playing out a specific Illuminati esoteric agenda. I believe he thought he was the one who they told him he was, the Antichrist, who was going to change the world for the better. Or are you hearing me? For the better. This is exactly the same way our world leaders are acting. The exact same way. We don't have any idea what's good for us, but, oh, they sure do. They're changing our business laws. They're changing our constitutional laws. They're changing our religious laws. They're changing everything. As I've been saying sporadically, off and on, for the past, few years now, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Changes come in every compartment of your life. Esoteric agendas did exist within the Nazi party, especially in the SS. The problem was that there was more than one. Should the Nazi regime simply promote German power, or should it seek to unify all Aryans everywhere, including Russia? This is what the globalists have in mind today. What attitude should the Nazi government take to anti-colonial movements, particularly in India and the Middle East? Will the future to be secular or religious? Was Christianity compatible with fascism? The German leadership deferred deciding this right up to the point when the working language in Hitler's bunker changed from German to Russian. After 1945, though, fascist ideology was freed from the compromises necessary for government, and the Black Sun describes the trajectory it took after that. Post-war, esoteric fascism fell in two periods, joined by a phase of startling mutation in the 1970s. The first period was backward-looking, essentially a salvage operation, if you like, from the wreck of the Third Reich. The pan-European orientation of the Waffen-SS finally won out over the German chauvinist Black SS, if for no other reason that the Germans were a distinct minority in the early post-war networks. Oswald Spengler's model of history, adopted in different hermetic forms, often involving the identification of the terminal crisis of modernity with the Kali Yuga, there was an increasingly huge tendency to call in the Russians to counterbalance America, now wholly identified with the Jews. Hitler was literally deified in some circles, and carrying this to its logical conclusion, a line of speculation that was started by Carl Jung himself. The age of Kali, for the Hindu, is the natural ending of the world in the fourth age. It's one of the series of changes, each of which marks the end of one cycle and the beginning of another creation. This, by the way, is reflected in all cultures. The latest cycle ending is that Mayan calendar cycle that ended December 21st, 2012. Remember? The central figure in the Hindu story is Vishnu, the preserver god, into whose self the world is absorbed before being born again. Vishnu has already saved humanity on a number of occasions, you know, symbolically appearing as a savior in many different forms. Vishnu incarnates in 10 avatars, of which there have been 9. The last 3 have been Rama, number 7, 8, Krishna, and number 9, finally, Buddha. It's said that he will appear again as Kali, the Avenger, riding a white horse, destined to destroy the present world, the corrupt age of the goddess Kali, and to take humanity to a different, higher plane, known as the Golden Age of Krita. You see, in Hinduism, it is the same story as the Christian story of one coming on a white horse to save the world, the Savior. All religions are waiting for this Savior. They all point to this Antichrist. Yes. Though Kali is associated with divinity, she's also been called Queen of the Demons, and deservedly so. Her role can be compared to Persephone in the Greek myths, who descends into the underworld. We just had this ritual to rule there during half the season and the cosmologic cycle. Kali seems much more in control over her destiny than the Greek goddess. And the gods and the titans engaged in a great battle. There was one particular titan who was too powerful for the lesser gods to defeat. That one will return on Talk Radio AM 640. Because there are two gods fighting now on the earth. Today, this minute, this second. It's the sun cult versus the moon cult. I'm Space, back with more on the other side of this break on Talk Radio AM 640. I'm the guy to call Space. It's a View from Space on Talk Radio AM 640. Email to spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. Like I said, I believe, by the way, that the fires in Fort McMurray were deliberately set. R writes, hey Space, ever heard of Rahu, the Sun Eater? He's also known as the Black Sun. Been listening to you for 10 years. Keep it up. He mentions also a couple of other things I can't get into tonight. But yes, Rahu's a snake that swallows the sun or the moon and causes eclipses. Because you see, the eclipse is also a black sun. It makes the sun black. And is connected with the Antichrist. Now, although in Buddhism, Hinduism, Kali is associated with divinity. She's also been called the Queen of Demons. And the gods and the titans engaged in a great battle. There was one particular titan who was too powerful for the lesser gods to defeat. Gurga, the warrior mother goddess. That's right, a woman who was the greatest fighter. And she was called upon for aid. She arrives in splendor, riding a lion into a battle. Her 10 arms, each bearing a magical weapon. Her 10 faces, each displaying a serene calm. She became the center of a cyclonic force of destruction. Durga wounded the Asura king, who was her main opponent and the hub of his army. From his wounds, the blood flowed to the ground, yet where each drop touched the soil, a clone of him appeared. The more quickly and fiercely she attacked, the faster his reproduction took place. In the heat of her frenzy, Durga called forth her most powerful and gruesome aspect. From her brow emanated Kali, the destroyer. Kali was as black as the night, draped in a tiger's skin, wearing a necklace of skulls, a skirt of severed hands, and a gaunt, ghoulish countenance. She was the very essence of wrath itself, with the fierce passion of a mad mother protecting her kids. She began to eat the Asura army. Kali's intense hunger and lust for blood were the necessary elements, you see, for victory. She gobbled up the new forms of the Asura king, slurped up the blood escaping from his wounds, and finally devouring him whole. The army? Defeated. Demoralized. Quickly dispersed, and peace was again restored to the realm of the gods. You see, in many ways, the Asuras were the manifestation of the malevolent masculine energies. They are the most often depicted in male form and almost always as feral, animal-like beings. They are the brutish, coercive aspects of the cosmos. Wait till you see what happens when, after the fall equinox, and the man is in control of the earth again. Right now it's the woman from the spring equinox, and her 6 months being in rule. In this story, Kali is a savioress. Despite the gruesomeness of her appearance, she enters as the queen of battle in order to quench the demon fire that rages the heavens, and by fallout, our world. Her main strengths are her passion, her ability to take others into herself, to consume. This is an important point. Kali is the powerful, hungry, feminine, the divine goddess. The consumption of the masculine is therefore necessary and transformative, changing the world. As I said, everything is going to be shaken that can be shaken. Even sex. When a battle is forced by Asura energies, it's our ability to take in, to absorb the very being of our adversary, which makes real peace possible, preferred by our understanding of their position, and thus our ability to negotiate, rather than our ability to predict their behavior and react aggressively in response. If and when consciousness devolves into combative conflict, as many times in the past, and it will continue, then consuming our adversary in the spirit of knowing our enemy is the best method of successful resolution. Direct confrontation only breeds others in succession who will be ready to assume the role of adversarial leadership in the event of a temporary triumph. When ravaging masculine energies threaten the sacred, Kali comes to the fore, so as to quell the activity of that war, matching the wild masculine passion with her feminine counterpart and renewing a harmonized equilibrium. See, Kali is the mask of death, drinking the elixir of life, which is blood, and reconciling polar energies. She's the goddess of time we're living in. In many Hindu cosmologies, we currently live in the Kali Yuga, or Age of Kali, a time of, well, you'll recognize it when I say it, and say it's true. We're living in a time of the Age of Kali, a time of disintegration and moral depravity. Agree? But politically correctness make it all okay to believe that way. As the fascists whispered about Hitler's survival in this world or another, they also traded stories about secret Nazi bases surviving in the Arctic and Antarctic, where wonder weapons were still under development. They quickly seized on the advent of flying saucer reports, too, in the late 40s as confirmation of their hopes. Through political fascism in the 50s and in the 60s, could still display a lethal edge, particularly in Italy. In most places, it was a sad affair. American neo-Nazis marched in Nazi finery, even, and invited attacks from passers-by in the mistaken belief that this would excite public sympathy. Nothing was behind such movements but perverse historical nostalgia. Two trends were underway by the 1970s that would make esoteric fascism relevant. The first was the New Age movement, and a huge increase in mysticism injected into our minds via books, movies, TV shows, you know, the usual programming vehicles. Books began to appear in great numbers that depicted the Second World War as essentially a war of wizards. Jean-Michel Angevert, Morning of the Magicians, that book got the trend fairly underway in 1960. And the genre peaked in the 70s. The best-known book of this type was probably Trouble Ravenscroft's Spear of Destiny, published in 73. Some of it relies on sensationalist accounts, information that continues to circulate. Is that right? Shocking. And some of it's strange, but it's true. The effect of this spin on new mythology was to give the evil of the Nazi regime a type of metaphysical dimension. And then you occasionally have the royals in our world today. Well, once in a while endorsing the Nazi spiritism or swastika or but bringing them up, tying in the Nazis and royalty. It was this spiritualization of Nazi wickedness that attracted the attention of Satanist groups, which were starting to expand just at that time, too. Modern Satanism usually means the rejection of Christianity and the idea of natural order, rather than the worship of a literal Satan. Still, the budding diabolists were intrigued by the notion that there had been a satanic government in Europe in the first half of the 20th century. In the sense of a regime that was the adversary of everything that had traditionally been thought good. This is what we're going through again. For followers of the left-hand path, black magic, people who choose to pursue liberation through nihilism, it made sense to adopt the real or imagined rituals of the Third Reich and to make its memorials, its places of pilgrimage. Also, many of the post-war esoteric fascists were famous writers on Tantra, Jungian depth of psychology, or ritual magic. Essentially, magical techniques started to creep in and became central to some of the new forms of Nazism. They are part and central of the new forms of the Illuminati today. I'm the Spaceman, back with more. Flip side of this break on Talk Radio AM 640. I'm the guy that calls Spaces Talk Radio AM 640. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. I really appreciate it. I sincerely appreciate every single one that you send, and I thank you very much. HW writes, so I've been talking about the Black Sun. Did you know that the financial building in the city of London has a Black Sun above its door? Just search it when you got time. It looks kind of spooky. The Black Sun is supposed to represent the malevolent use of the sun's energy as well as the galactic sun. And he ends it with, those who control the debt own the world. Yeah, the financial building in the city of London has a black sun, its front door. Yeah. Oh, here's someone that read the comments that a 12-year-old earlier when I was talking about the deliberately set fire in Fort McMurray earlier this week, said he got goosebumps when he heard that 12-year-old and what he or she wrote. Yes, there are no age barriers to AVFS on Talk Radio AM 640. People who just, well, really want another take on what really happened, besides the lies the Illuminati-controlled mass media are constantly spitting out, pushing their agenda of the globalists. So, there's been some fantasy literature during the Nazi years, because this is basically what we have. We have the Nazis in control here in 2016. A literature about the Aryans in Hyperborea and Atlantis, as a matter of fact, there was quite a lot of it in English from writers like Robert Howard, wrote in the 70s, a form of pro-Nazi science fiction, which all began to appear in the 60s and the 70s. This chronicled the adventures of Germans who escaped the downfall of the Third Reich by fleeing to secret bases, they said, in the Arctic or the Antarctic. The names to remember for the Arctic are Point 103, the Blue Island, and Midnight Mountain. For Antarctica, the venue was usually Nischwabensland, an actual territory explored by Germany before the war, and as part of a secret international society engaged in defending the world against Jewish domination. The refugees abandoned the swastika and conventional German insignia. The symbol of the society was the Black Sun. It looks like the ABC logo is actually the Black Sun. The Black Sun can consist of a black or a deep violet disk with a lightning bolt striking it, or just a circle, a disk alone, black, with a little bit of light around the edges. The logo of ABC television, it's the Black Sun. This symbol perhaps came originally from the alchemical shorthand for the lowest point of the Great Work. The Great Work, by the way, is a plan that's been going on for centuries by the elitist families that have been controlling the world for centuries through their might and power and knowledge, and are bound and determined to set up a one-world government, which will be the conclusion of the Great Work. One leader, one world, one government. It had some currency in Germany in the 1930s. Himmler may have had it worked into the floor of the SS castle in Wewelsberg, although it was not certain that is what the design there is supposed to mean. The Black Sun is also related to the theosophical notion of the invisible sun around which the universe is supposed to revolve. Now, theosophy, invented by Helena Blavatsky, an occultist, Russian occultist, is basically just man becomes God and how to. This seems to be what Himmler's wizard called Maria Vilgut had in mind when he described an extinguished star that had once shone in Hyperborea, the Black Sun, and whose rays still energized the Aryan soul. In any case, this symbol of the low point of history has become the preferred symbol for esoteric Nazism. The black sun is representative of Saturn, which once was a sun like the one we have today, but the two universes collided, and our sun became the dominant sun, and Saturn cooled down and died and became a planet. The black sun is an eclipse, or, if you like, a huge power, too, that's hidden. Eclipses are the great power points of the zodiac. They run through space and time in regular series called Saros cycles. The sun controls all, you see. The Saros cycles take about 1,200 years to travel from the north to the south pole and vice versa. Each series has a different founding horoscope and a different theme. Now, Prince William was born in London, England, at 9:03 in the evening, June 21st, 1982. His birth takes place just after a solar eclipse in the summer solstice, an especially powerful moment in time where the sun, moon, and north node were closely aligned in the baby prince's seventh house, symbolizing relationships in the emotional sign of Cancer, which is feeling, caring, and nurturing. William was born into a series called Two Old North, which began in 792 AD, just before the first recognized English king, Egbert, was crowned. It's due to end, this Saros cycle of the sun, in 2036. Prince William will then be 54, a nine. This means, raises many questions. The most obvious is whether William, if he becomes the king of Great Britain, might in fact be the last king of Great Britain. Since this series called the Two Old North of Saros cycles began in 792 with the first recognized English king, Egbert, crowned, it could close out in 2036 with William at 54 years of age being the last king of Great Britain. And maybe, just maybe, the ruler of the world. The solar eclipse, the meaning of Saros II Old Norse series, is said to be that of separation or ending of unions, a theme very clearly lived out in Prince William's life right to date so far. He's had to endure his parents' separation, December of 92, their subsequent divorce and his mother's shocking death in August of 1997, on a backward 13 day, the 31st of August, when he was only 15. The intensely public way in which those dramatic events unfolded has adversely affected the British public's attitude toward the monarchy and may have a serious impact in years to come. The solar eclipse under which William was born connects strongly with the Cancer sun of his great-great-uncle, Edward VIII, who supposedly gave up the British throne for the love of a divorcee, an American divorcee, Wallace Simpson, in 1936, if you know the story. His father, Prince William's father, Prince Charles, did the opposite, putting royal duty before his love for Camilla when he married the Cancerian Diana, Princess Diana. William's mother, you see, in 1981. Perhaps William's intensely emotional nature and powerful need for relationship will, in due time, provoke a crisis for man and nation with the theme of sun eclipsed by the moon, kingship eclipsed by emotional needs, arising again in the British family. the royal family. I'm the Spaceman. This is Talk Radio AM 640. More after the break.
I'm the guy they call Spaceman. This is a View from Space on Talk Radio AM 640. I communicate by email. That's the only way you and I get together in our thoughts, except for this microphone that's between us both. One is space at 640toronto.com. The other is space at 640toronto.com. MJ writes, listening in Mississippi, enjoying the show tonight. I thank you so much for that email, for checking in. I appreciate every single one I get, by the way. Now, one of the biggest public relations hoaxes ever perpetrated by the British Crown is that King Edward VIII, who abdicated the throne in 1938 due to his support for the Nazis, was a black sheep, an aberration on an otherwise unblemished Windsor bloodline. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The British monarchy and the City of London's leading crown bankers enthusiastically backed Hitler and the Nazis, bankrolled the Führer's election, and did everything possible to build the Nazi war machine for Britain's planned geopolitical war between Germany and Russia. Support for Nazi-style genocide has always been at the heart of the House of Windsor policy, and long after the abdication of King Edward VIII, the Merry Windsors maintained their direct Nazi links. So when Prince Philip, co-founder, by the way, with Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands of the World Wildlife Fund, WWF, that's the organization that got the WWF Wrestling Corporation to change its name, tells an interviewer that he hoped to be reincarnated as a deadly virus in his second life to help solve the population problem. You see, Prince Philip is doing just what comes naturally for any scion of the Anglo-Dutch oligarchy. That's the way they think. To get beyond the soap opera stuff and truly understand the Windsors of today, who are really, in fact, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, with the name Windsor just being changed to fight the First World War, which was a war between two family members, Germany and England. It's useful to start with Prince Philip. Not only was he trained in the Hitler Youth curriculum, but his German brothers-in-law, whom he had lived, all became high-ranking figures in the Nazi Party. Before his family was forced into exile, Prince Philip had been in line of succession to the Greek throne. This is the person Prince Philip is married to, Queen Elizabeth II, established after a British-run coup, you see, against the son of Ludwig of Bavaria, who became King Otto I of Hellene, having dispatched King Otto in 1862. London ran a talent search for a successor, which resulted in the selection of Prince William, the son of the designated heir and nephew to the Danish king, Crown Prince Christian. In 1862, this Prince William of the Danes was installed as George I of Greece and married a granddaughter of Tsar Nicholas I in 1866. Prince Philip is a grandson of Queen Victoria, who couldn't speak a word of English, only German, when she first arrived in England. And he is related also to most of the current and former crowned heads of Europe, including 7 czars of Russia. The marriages of Prince Philip's sisters definitely strengthened the German aristocratic ties. During the 1931-1932 year, Philip's 4 older sisters married into other royal houses of Europe. Margarita to a Czech-Austrian prince named Gottfried von Hohenlohe-Langenberg, and great-grandson of England's Queen Victoria. See, marrying within the family. Theodora to Berthold, the Margrave of Baden. Cecilia married George Donatus, Grand Duke of Hesse by Rhine, also a great-grandson of Queen Victoria, marrying inside the family again. And Sophie,
was married to Prince Christoph of Hesse. Three of Philip's brothers-in-law were part of a group of German aristocrats who were Anglophile and pro-Nazi at the same time, and who remained a subversive force in Germany to this day. Enter Prince Bernhard. His Royal Highness Prince Bernhard, royal consort to the Queen Juliana of the Netherlands and father of the current Queen Beatrix, co-founded, I'm talking about Prince Bernhard here, co-founded and became the first head of the World Wildlife Fund, now the World Wide Fund for Nature. When the Lockheed scandal forced Prince Bernhard to resign from his most important public functions in 71, he was replaced by Prince Philip. Prince Bernhard, like Prince Philip, whom he recruited to the climate change fascist cause, has strong roots in the Nazi movement also. In fact, the whole House of Orange did. Queen Wilhelmina, mother of the future Queen Juliana, married a right-wing playboy who begged for money for Hitler. Juliana married an SS man, Prince Bernhard. And Queen Juliana's daughter, Beatrix, married a former member of the Hitler Youth, the Hitlerjungen. Prince Bernhard first became interested in the Nazis in 1934, during his last year of study in the University of Berlin, it said. He was recruited by a member of the Nazi intelligence services, but first worked openly in the motorized SS. Bernhard, Prince Bernhard, went to Paris to work for the firm IG Farben, which pioneered Nazi economics minister Helmut Schacht's slave labor camp system by building concentration camps to convert coal into synthetic gasoline and rubber and get Hitler's army rolling. Bernhard's role was to conduct espionage on behalf of the SS, according to the April 5, 1976 issue of Newsweek, Time Warner Company, publisher. This role, as part of a special SS intelligence unit in IG Farben industry, had been revealed in testimony at the Nuremberg trials. Also, it was found that IG Farben was the actual company that was producing the gas for the gas chambers at Auschwitz. When Prince Bernhard left the SS to marry the future Queen Juliana, he signed his letter of resignation to Adolf Hitler. Yeah, he signed his letter of resignation to Adolf Hitler with Heil Hitler. William Hoffman writes in his book, Queen Juliana, tensions over the marriage were not cooled when Adolf Hitler forwarded his own congratulatory message. The newspaper Het Volk editorialized that it would be better if the future queen had found a consort in some democratic country rather than in the Third Reich. This is the man who recruited Prince Philip to the climate change agenda. But Prince Philip's Nazi roots have been much earlier in his life been laid through the influence of his sister Theodora. When Prince Philip was young, he was sent to the German school near Lake Constantine that had been founded by Berthold's father, Max von Baden. By the way, Constantine is a bloodline relative of Prince Philip. Now, during World War I, Prince Max von Baden had been chancellor while the Oxford-trained Hahn first served as the head of the Berlin Foreign Ministry's intelligence desk. Then, as special advisor to Prince Max in the Versailles Treaty negotiations, von Baden and Hahn set up a school in a wing of Schloss Salem, employing a combination of monasticism and the Nazis' strength through joy system. At first, supporter of the Nazis, Hahn, who was part Jewish, soon got into trouble with the SS and came to support the more centrist elements of the Nazi Party. What Hahn really had become is what Henry Kissinger's friend Michael Ledeen had called a universal fascist, in the sense of Vladimir Jabotinsky, Count Kudenhov Galergi, the Strasser brothers, too, and other fascists who had hardcore Nazi beliefs would have no dealings with. It's a Spaceman, Talk Radio, AM 640. It's given you an insight on who is behind climate change and the roots thereof. I'm the guy that calls Space. It's View from Space on Talk Radio, AM 640. Back here reading emails. By the way, I communicate by email only, space@640toronto.com or spaceman@640toronto.com. M.A. writes, why have the Jews been the center of oppression and hatred over the millennia? Well, it's pretty simple, really. It's the one religion that can be pitted against Islam, and therefore is the fly in the ointment. It is the fly in your soup that you need to have removed, because the Third World War will be an ideological war over who is God, not over territory, not over resources, but over a belief. And, of course, Judaism, from Judaism springs Christianity. So Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the three monotheistic religions, are being pitted against one another and will be deemed to be the cause of all the problems the world has ever had and will be, therefore, outlawed, made illegal, and a new religion will come to take its place. A one-world religion. The Black Sun. Saturn worship. Thank you for the email. Oh, and one more. KV. By the looks of the German name. Hey, Space, a good quote that I have always had with me in the back of my mind was from Hitler when he said, first you get the woman, then you have the children, and the men will follow. Love the show. Keep up the good work. So back to the British royal Nazi connection. The husband of Philip's sister, Sophie, Prince Christoph, was embraced by the Nazis, who saw him as a channel to the appeasement faction in Britain, epitomized by King Edward VIII, the one who abdicated. Joining the Nazi Party in 1933, by 1935, Prince Christoph was chief of the Forschungsstab, the Directorate of Scientific Research, a special intelligence operation run by Hermann Göring, and was also special intelligence of the Standartenführer, the colonel of the SS on Heinrich Himmler's personal staff. The Forschungsstab included electronic intelligence gathering methods to police the Nazi Party, while working with the Gestapo against the Catholic Church, the Jews, and labor organizations. When rumors of homosexuality spread against Captain Ernst Röhm of the Stormtroopers, Himmler turned to the Forschungsstabs, eavesdroppers, and ordered the Night of the Long Knives, if you'll recall in history, as a result. The eldest of Prince Christoph and Sophie's children was named Karl Adolf, after Adolf Hitler, of course. Later, Prince Philip would promote his education. Prince Christoph's brother, Philip of Hesse, married a daughter of the King of Italy and became the official liaison between the Nazi and the fascist regimes. 4 years after Prince Philip left Schloss Salem to attend Gordonstoun Academy in Scotland, Philip learned that his sister Cecilia and her husband, George Donatus, hereditary Grand Duke of Hesse by Rhine, the German, had crashed in one of Hermann Göring's Junker aircraft on a trip to London for George's brother's wedding. According to the British magazine Private Eye, the funeral became a gathering point for leading Nazis and their appeasers. In other words, they all came together at this funeral. Prince Philip himself developed secretive ties with King Edward VIII, continuing after Edward was, of course, deposed in 1938. In fact, one of the central figures of the 1930s Nazi-British-backed channel was Philip's uncle and sponsor, Lord Louis Mountbatten. Originally a Battenberg, by the way, a branch of the House of Hesse. Until he was forced to abdicate, King Edward VIII enjoyed the full backing of nicknamed Dickie, Lord Louis Mountbatten. Though much of World War II, secret channels of communication were maintained between the British royal family and their pro-Hitler cousins in Germany. By Lord Mountbatten, through his sister Louise, who was crown princess of pro-Nazi Sweden, Louise was Prince Philip's aunt, the one who was married to Queen Elizabeth, of course, Prince Philip. Although Buckingham Palace's rumor mill had tried to depict this wartime collaboration with the enemy as merely family correspondence, the channel apparently included messages from Prince Philip's secret ally, the Duke of Windsor, the former Edward VIII. On November 20th, 1995, the Washington Times actually reported, based on recently discovered Portuguese Secret Service files, first published in London, in The Observer, that the Duke of Windsor had been a close collaboration with Nazis in Spain and Portugal to foment a revolution in wartime Britain that would topple the Churchill government, depose his brother, King George VI, and allow him to regain the throne with Queen Wallis Simpson, an American divorcee for whom he abdicated the throne, at his side. Portuguese surveillance revealed that Walter Schellenberg, head of Gestapo counterintelligence, was at one point of contact in this plot. After Schellenberg met with the Spanish ambassador to Portugal, Nicolas Franco, brother of fascist general Francisco Franco, Ambassador Franco told the Portuguese diplomat, "The Duke of Windsor, free from the responsibilities of the war, in disagreement with English politicians, could be the man to put at the head of the empire, the new world order." Whatever correspondence was hidden in Sophie and Prince Charles Christoph's Kronenburg Castle, King George VI, in June of 1945, felt compelled to dispatch the former MI5 officer turned surveyor of the King's pictures, Anthony Blunt, to gather up the correspondence, hide the evidence. Queen Elizabeth II reportedly insisted that there would be no interrogation of Blunt about his secret trip to that castle either. Otherwise, it's pretty interesting that starting with an exchange between King George VI and President Eisenhower of the United States at that time, the House of Windsor had been desperate to keep classified the documents from Kronenburg Castle that fell into American Army hands long beyond the normal length of time. Clearly, Prince Philip's patron, Lord Dickie Mountbatten, Mountbatten's sister, Crown Prince Louise, and Philip's brother-in-law, Prince Christoph of Hesse, were not just exchanging Christmas greetings. There was more going on at that time. In the Chancellery bunker in 1945, Propaganda Minister Joseph Goebbels told his colleagues to make a courageous end. He asked them to imagine a color motion picture made in the year 2050 about what they said and did in the final days of the Reich. The question they each had to answer, he told them, was whether he wanted to appear as a hero or a villain in that movie. Even today, I can think, we can be pretty sure that the identities of the good guys and the bad guys will not have changed much from the Allied point of view in 1945. Still, Black Sun is a useful reminder that some people have different ideas for that scenario. You see, Lucifer is the god of the Black Sun, which is truly the great dragon of Typhon, the mother of all creation and of all humanity. Typhon's self-begotten son was Sut, the ancient Egyptian god, which was Sothis or Sirius, which our dog star Sirius today is named after, which in later reckonings, Sut was then named after the planet Saturn, which was called in earlier times in history concerning Christianity, Satan or Lucifer. Lucifer is just not female or male. Lucifer is androgynous, meaning that this very ancient creator is both male and female. Typhon and Sut in the ancient Egyptian mystery religion are known to be joined as one in an androgynous existence. So the Egyptian myths of these two gods are as separate beings. Basically, not correct. They are one. Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, is just another myth, not a microcosm of Godhead, as seen by Typhon and Sut, being self-begotten, but as the microcosm of the creation theory of humanity. More on the Black Sun, the ancient Egyptian religion, as it relates today, next. Didn't know there were so many connections that involved the royals in Britain and the Nazis, did you? It's the Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. The Black Sun. That's the religion. Saturn worship. RG writes, Black Sun, also part of a Star Wars comic and video game in 1996, Nintendo 64 game, and united the Empire to evil and entities. I wonder what the connection is. And this from WK. One of the Canadian outlets is saying, news outlets saying, five males have died in an apartment fire in Calgary. The Greek New Testament word for homosexuals is arsenokotas, meaning men who burn in their lust for one another. Four Eastern Orthodox churches were burned on May Day, May 1st. St. Saba, New York City. One in Russia, two in Australia. I was wondering if this denomination had recently decided to join the One World Church. And I had suspected arson in the Fort Mac fires, too, as well. Seeing all of these things, and, oh, isn't that the Calgary NHL hockey team that's called the Flames? A euphemism for homosexuals. Quite interesting as it all ties in, isn't it? Yes, the Illuminati want you to believe the sun is the true god of all of our existence. To point out the black sun is symbolic of the center, the creator of the world, which is the black goddess Typhon, from the land of Kim. Kim, by the way, meaning black, the black land of Egypt. She was the creator of the black race, the first race of man. The black sun is indeed hidden and not recognized by the masses as the true sun god, but the people are led to believe in the sun that is represented as yellow, the visible color we see in the sky. Yet the mystery deepens, since this is the microcosm of our existence. The true black sun, or the true Lucifer, is hidden deep in more symbolism, in the macrocosm. There are three forms of suns, known in esoteric literature. The third is pretty much hidden in many books in the past and present. There's a world, there's a word called the sun behind the sun, which may be termed as the sun behind our local sun. It's called Sirius, the dog star. There are three Sirius planets, Sirius A, Sirius B, Sirius C, which also cosmically allude to the existence of three suns. The third sun is called the galactic sun, which is a black hole in the depths of our solar system. The Illuminati, as I said, want you to believe the sun is the true god of all of our existence. It's not Lucifer or Typhon. These are solely alien beings that created mankind. This god is the creator of the alien beings. The black sun is this black hole. The creator. This creator is veiled with so much secrecy, it's hard to find information on its existence. This god is also called the super solar force, as mentioned in many books. The force, may the fourth be with you. The day Fort McMurray was issued a mandatory evacuation order because of the wildfires, I'm saying to you now, the fourth was with those people who set those flames, because I believe it was arson. It was deliberately set to kill the oil patch in Canada, Fort McMurray, at the very epicenter of that area. Yes, the Nazis are at work still today, just as they were in the past, when Heinrich Himmler was the Grand Master of the Coven of the 12 SS men. He was the 13th member, just like Jesus Christ, 12 disciples, and he became the 13th. Himmler conducted numerous black magic rituals at Wevelsberg Castle. These rituals were conducted in the utmost secrecy, too. They included necromancy, communication with the dead. Wevelsberg had many powerful satanic symbols inlaid into this building. 1945, under orders from Himmler himself, Wevelsberg was blown up to keep it from the invading armies. Some of the castle survived, and a lot of it's been restored. Of course, the elites always look after their coveted symbolism. The symbol of the black sun is seen in many places in Wevelsberg, and one room is designed much like Stonehenge. True paganism, you see, which is synonymous with Satanism, is known for its emphasis of the sun. Himmler and his inner circle of 12 Gruppenführers would engage in mystic communication with the dead, Teutons, perform other spiritual exercise. Secrecy was the key element, too, in the SS, and most especially at Wevelsberg. But no one talks about the SS and their occult connections very often. As a matter of fact, no one talks about them at all anymore, because they don't teach it. They don't even teach history anymore. So no one knows where we really came from. The next generation is so, well, dumbed down, so stupid, so ignorant of the past, they have nowhere where they're going in the future. Which is easier to control, that group. Foreign intelligence Chief Walter Schellenberg, observed Himmler. He said, I happened to come into the room by accident to see these 12 SS leaders sitting in a circle, all sunk deep and silent into a contemplation, sort of kind of like fixated on some kind of a spell that was around them. And it was indeed a remarkable sight, he said. Himmler worked diligently to destroy Zionity within the Reich. Zionity was a syncretic religion began in the middle 90s by Sarah Ellen Bennett, also known as Sylvia Roslyn Lassum. Xi'an is a name of the city in the Shaanxi province in China, too, by the way. Bennett chose the city as the focus of her nascent religion, both because of its cultural significance and because the name means Western peace. Lassum also admitted that Xi'an would be seen to imply Christian, because, you see, the X is like Xmas, right? Christmas. Xmas. Xian. Christian. Book after book has been written about the Nazis being Xian. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The many rune symbols, most notably the SS and swastika, speak for themselves. They're solar worship symbols, and nothing more. Hitler played the Vatican, used them. This is what Himmler said on Christian marriage. Marriage, as it is today, is the evil work of the Catholic Church, regarded dispassionately and without prejudice. Our present marriage laws are absolutely immoral. The marriage laws of today, presumably designed to protect the family, in fact, led to a decrease in the size of families. After the war, monogamy will cease to be enforced upon promiscuous mankind. The SS and the heroes of this war will have special privileges. They will immediately have the right to take a second wife, who shall be considered to be as legitimate as the first. The permission to have two wives will be a mark of distinction. Now, I spoke of this sun worshipper's ancient way of life many times on AVFS, on Talk Radio AM 640. This had everything to do with the Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, having their children taken away from them. Remember that whole huge thing that erupted a few years ago, the Texas courts in El Dorado? A city of gold, only to be returned to them again? The elites of our world are intending to bring polygamy back. It's part of sun worship. The Mormons are sun worshippers. They have many wives. SS officer Otto Rahn, SS Obersturmführer, wrote a book titled Lucifer's Hofsind, Lucifer's Court Servants. He spoke before a large audience in 1938 at the Dietrich Eckhart Haus in Dortmund, Deutschland, in Germany. Rahn set a new limit in the spirit tied to the Romans, to the belief in a life after death and the fear of hell. He rejected Yahweh and the Jewish teachings and professed Lucifer's Hoskin, in whose name Kurt Eggers closed the evening with this greeting. Lucifer, who has been done wrong to, greets you. Space back with more on the other side of the break on Talk Radio AM 640.
I'm a spaceman. It's a view from space right here on Talk Radio AM 640. Emails to spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. Deluge tonight.
after I made the statement that I believe that the wildfire, Fort McMurray, 2016, happened this week, was deliberately set to kill the oil sands, as Fort McMurray is in the epicenter of that very area. And it's the only large populated area or town in the whole area. It was targeted, sending a message and getting incredible, just astounding footage on video of that firestorm and the people scrambling to run from it. A.H. writes, "Hey Space, Black Sun translates to Schwarz Sun in German. I wondered why Hitler's army was called the SS, the elite. Great show. Keep on covering the truth while you still can. A.H. Yeah, Schwarz is black in German. Sun is sun. SS. And G from Alberta writes, "The growing wildfire, Fort McMurray, is now reported in international news and includes climate change alarmists and is now being dubbed the Beast." Coincidence? I'll leave that with you. Hey, there's an excerpt of Lucifer's Hofskin, which is much more light than in the houses of God, cathedrals and churches, where Lucifer neither is able nor wishes to entertain due to all the somber stained glass windows wherein are painted the Jewish prophets, apostles, and saints. The forest, that was free. That's an excerpt from Lucifer's Hofskissen. Lucifer's servants is at least partly a genuine Nazi propaganda tract. And several passages make a good case for the worship of Lucifer. Indeed, the idea of Lucifer as a benign or divine being was familiar and congenial to the white light theosophists of the 1920s, who, after all, entitled one of their official German publications Lucifer. For Ron, the Grail was an emblem set up in opposition to the established church. Actually, it was a Luciferian symbol. And for this, the Nazis were grateful. The eternal struggle between light and darkness. Light, in this case, represented by not Jesus or Jehovah, but by another spirit, the Light Bearer. To Ron, you see, this entity represented the highest good. To him, the Nazi Reich in general, and the SS in particular, became servitors of the ancient pagan cult whose god was known to the medieval Christians, not as Jesus, but as Lucifer. And having established that, they celebrated, as the numerous examples have proved, the marvels of the crown of Lucifer. It's permitted to believe that they had faith in the existence of a Luciferian crown of eternal life. And if we follow this thought to its conclusion, we will say that for them, the god of love was none other than Lucifer in person. The god Amor is the god of spring, as in Apollyon. Apollyon brought back the light of the sun, didn't he? He's the light bearer, or Lucifer. According to the Apocalypse of John, Apollyon was equated with the devil. And according to the belief of the Roman Church, Lucifer is Satan. What happened in Nazi Germany is again beginning to happen here. Now, SS men were strongly discouraged from participating in Xian religions. and the ceremonies of any kind, and were actively encouraged to formally break with the churches. Pagan religion, pagan ceremonies, took the place of Christian ones. Winter solstice ceremonies replaced Christmas. Starting 1939, the word Christmas was forbidden to appear in any SS document in Germany, and the summer solstice was formally celebrated. That's what we do today. These ceremonies were celebrated the old way with sacred fires and torchlit processions. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. The Olympic torch is getting there. Ritually played out on the streets and highways of Rio and Brazil. And it did not originate in ancient Greece, nor even in the 19th century when the Olympic movement was revived. The entire ritual, with its pagan overtones, was actually devised by a German named Dr. Karl Diem, who ran the 1936 Olympics in Berlin for Hitler. Hitler was going to show the world how great Germany was at that Olympiad. Diem adapted very quickly to the new regime and ended the war as a fanatical military commander, exhorting teenage Germans to die like Spartans rather than accept defeat. And thousands followed him and did exactly as he said. But not coverage of the games. The idea that 3,422 young Aryan runners should carry burning torches along the 3,422-click route from the Temple of Hera on Mount Olympus to the stadium in Berlin. It was Karl Diem's idea to do that. That the flame should be lit under the supervision of a high priestess, using mirrors to consecrate the sun's rays, turn it into a flame, and then put it onto a torch, and then take the torch all the way to the next games, which was Berlin Stadium. It would have been quasi-sacred purity. The concept could hardly fail to appeal to the Nazis, right, who loved pagan mythology and saw ancient Greece as an Aryan forerunner of the Third Reich. Yes, the ancient Greeks believed that the fire was of divine origin from the sun and kept perpetual flames burning in their temples because of it. Weddings and baptisms were replaced by pagan SS rituals, and gradually the entire Christian liturgical rubric was a process of being replaced by a completely pagan version. Even the Hitler Youth were not immune. A so-called Nazi primer published during the war contained many examples of pagan ideology and ancient anti-Christian sentiment designed for this youthful readership. Now, an SS officer took the place of an Zian priest, minister, and presiding over weddings, baptisms, and funerals. And a manual, How to Do It, titled The SS Family Procedure for Conducting Family Celebrations, was issued to every SS man and woman. And what contained? Pagan celebrations for all eight of the important pagan holidays of the year. The four equinoxes, the four cross-quarter days. Our leaders do the same thing today, and they are sounding eerily like the same exact guy as Hitler and Himmler. Himmler's dream, you see, was to create out of the SS a new religion based on pagan elements of what he perceived to be the original Ur-Aryan religion of ancient India and Europe. But many Germans were devout Christians at that time. Just like we have today. Hitler himself realized this and knew that he had to play politics with them for as long as the churches held power and as long as the people felt they owed spiritual allegiance to the churches and what they represented. In this, he was cynical in his dealings with the church. And he egged on the capitalists. You can see how far we've come since then. We've taken capitalism to its, well, its zenith. It's got to end and make way for fascism. It's a Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. More follows this break. I'm going to call Space. It's a view from Space on Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. Thank you so much for the reaction to my premise tonight on the show. Is that the Sun Worshippers at it again, an Illuminati event happened this week at Fort McMurray. It was a deliberately set fire. And the people were squeezed until they left in the nick of time. All added up to just that. My emailer writes, RG, so I thought in my head that the fire is symbolism in your topic slightly, and I wondered about Alberta's fires in relation, and that it is Canada's economic hub. But I thought this is Canada, and that this wasn't that important to the Illuminati. But thank you so much on this real coverage, he calls it. This is getting more and more scarier as it hits home. It's almost a blessing in disguise. Here's someone who is beginning to see through the lies of the Illuminati-controlled mass media and what they're telling you. I hope you heard the beginning of this show tonight as I laid out what the authorities actually did. Or, better put, what they didn't do. Now, the Temple of Set founder, and there is a Temple of Set today, Michael Aquino, visited Wevelsberg, a castle in Germany that the SS used for their high-level meetings. He visited several times during the early 80s and was very impressed. He performed what he called a ritual in the North Tower to resurrect the energies of Wevelsberg on the world and incite a satanic renaissance to jump start the next phase of human evolution, which I believe has already happened, by the way. Certainty. I mean, this theme is to be found all through Nazi writings and speeches from the various early days, because you see, it's just not an Nazi organization thought process. It's the people who run the Nazis' thoughts. They're the elite. I'm afraid to admit that I'm correct to you. They are our leaders today, who are in fact Nazis. The Black Sun, they worship as symbolic of the black, massive black hole at the center of our galaxy. It is the cosmic life force, they believe, that derives our collective consciousness as a race. Depending on where we are in the great cycle, determines the highs and lows of humanity, they believe. The last time this cosmic energy was at its strongest was at the start of the Piscean Age. Jesus' birth was symbolic of that new age. This is why the Christian symbol is the fish. This is also where the word Christ consciousness comes from. The powers of which was endowed to Christ came from the cosmic life force known as Vril. Vril is just another word for ether, prana, chi, cosmic life force. May the force be with you. Which, ironically, the fourth was the day that Fort McMurray was given the mandatory evacuation order. Indeed, the Vril Fourth was with them that day. Earlier this week, when the new Golden Age, meaning Aquarius, finally arrives, and we've just entered the Age of Aquarius, the cosmic life force vril that drives our collective consciousness will now build to its strongest. That's why it was in this period Nazi astronomers thought the reunification of the Aryan race would take place. I believe it's coming to fruition. The Aryans are coming to the forefront. The Illuminati would have you believe everything in the universe works together in a perfect, sympathetic, homogeneous order. We're not the only intelligent consciousness in this great universe. They'll have you believe that. The Earth, the Sun, and all the stars and cosmos as a whole are very much alive and conscious. They'll have you believe that. And every mind affects the other. And our unification as a race will be the next step, they believe, in our evolution. It's all a hoax to simply give us an excuse for a reason why they have to have a one world government and one leader. It's for domination and no more power over the masses. It was a very exclusive society in 1800s and turn of the century Germany, linked to the Thule Society, therefore likely an offshoot of the Kabbalah. There were known links between the Thule Society and the early National Socialist Party, which became the Nazis later, and it was known that Hitler was heavily influenced by both societies. I tell you, Hitler and that whole scenario thing is going to repeat itself. One information I've found seems to indicate that the Nazi SS were all members of the order, signified by their black uniforms, the black sun. Uniforms are black. I also read, because black is the color of Saturn. Also the color of knowledge, by the way. That's why priests in the churches wear black. I've also read that there are some Germanic Teutonic-themed artwork in the new Denver International Airport, which happens to be in close proximity to the newest monster harp array set up for chemtrail heating, and indicates a cabal influence in that facility. A few excerpts of what little I've found on it so far. Symbol of the swastika, according to Blavatsky, the founder of Theosophy, depicts the flowing in or out of this Atma power. The swastika, you see, is an ancient sun worship symbol. The left-handed swastika is presumed to be the clockwise rotation, depicts the flowing in of the Atma power at the North Pole. It prophetically describes the Aryan exodus from the inner Earth via the North Pole. Now, the right-hand swastika with the arrows or the ends pointing to the right, the one the Nazis used, the backward sun symbol of the left-handed, is presumed to be the counterclockwise rotation, which depicts the flowing out of the Atma power from the opening at the South Pole, referred to as the pit. This reverse sign is also the wheel of the Black Sun. The SS, or stormtroopers, are also from the Order of the Black Sun, hence the black uniforms. This also prophetically depicts the Aryan return to an inner Earth via the South Pole, or this pit. Now, this pit may be the same pit mentioned in the Bible in Revelation 17. Now, come fast forward to today and see that the CIA, Nazi-based black magic through Order of the Black Sun, involved with the JPL, NASA Corporation, with its heavy Mormon influence, sun worship influence, naval intelligence, involved with Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, and the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis of Aleister Crowley, being considered as the highest black magic society, and how all these things are intricately intertwined with each other. It all starts to make sense as to what they're all doing when it comes to their mutually deep-set beliefs in the Egyptian Osiris, the sun god. Yes. They're really bringing back sun worship. The Thule Society, the real inspiration of Nazism, founded August 1919 in Munich, as an offshoot of the German Order, another secret society founded under the initiative of a strange character named Baron Rudolf von Sippottendorf. Among its most important members, Max Oxman, Anton Drexler, Dietrich Eckhart, the handler for Adolf Hitler himself, was Dietrich Eckhart, Hans Frank, Rudolf Hess, Alfred Rosenberg, Gottfried Feder, and others who later became Nazi leaders. Adolf Hitler belonged to the society as an associate, a visiting brother only. The emblem of the Thule Society depicted a German dagger over a sinistraverse swastika, the one whose virtual rotation is counterclockwise, with its curved legs pointing to the right. I'm a spaceman. There's more on the other side of the break on Talk Radio AM 640. This is AVFS. I got a call. Space. This is a View from Space on Talk Radio AM 640. Email to space at 640toronto.com. And I thank you so much for the ones that I've received tonight. Now, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, there was a variety of secret occult societies in Germany, the main ones being... Now, why I bring up Germany all the time is simply because I believe the ones that are ruling our world are German. Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, real name of the Windsors, now living in Buckingham Palace, who, of course, control... Wow. What the firm has in its grip is astounding. And the world is owed the debt to. So, in Germany, the main ones were the Bavarian Illuminati, the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, the Thule Society, and the Vril Society. Each of these five societies, although based in secrecy and mysticism, had its role and function. Of these five, two, especially noted for their occult connections, the Vril Society and its purely German offshoot, the Thule Society. The chief architect of the Thule Society was Baron Rudolf von Sippottendorf, sometimes referred to as Rudolf Glauer Sippottendorf. He possessed a wide knowledge of Islamic mysticism in all of its aspects, encompassing the dervish sects, you know, the whirling dervishes, that would turn in circles, dance in circles, like, well, the circle around Saturn. And they would give everything away to the point of starvation. As soon as you would give them food, the whirling dervishes, they would whirl for you in their garb, and give the food away to someone else, and deny themselves. Oh, the whirling dervishes are some satanic cult, if there ever was one. But the dervish sects, particularly the cult of Sufism, too, which differs a lot from mainstream Islamic teaching. Now, the name Thule, by the way, still living today in a, I believe it's a Nordic business that's in the business of making car top containers that goes on the roof of your car. You'll often see the word Thule written, T-H-U-L-E. Now you know what I'm talking about. The name Thule refers to the capital of the legendary polar country Hyperborea. It's also referred to as Ultima Thule. It was supposedly the gateway to another world, you see. Chula was therefore recognized as a place where humans could, by whatever means, leave the Earth. It also repeatedly stood at the portal of the Hollow Earth. Interestingly, the major players of the 21st century, the USA, the Russian Federation, have ELF, extra-low-frequency transmitting sites in these areas. These transmitters are supposedly used to communicate with submerged submarines. But what's intriguing is that they broadcast these messages at brainwave frequencies, which is around 18 to 20 hertz. Now, traditionally, the Hyperboreans were in contact with extraterrestrials, E.T., the alien cultures. In some versions of this, there was interbreeding. And in common with legendary inhabitants of Atlantis, they engaged in war with neighboring civilizations. So this escalated into the use of atomic weapons, resulting in a Pyrrhic victory, for the Hyperboreans, who, as well as defeating their enemies, virtually destroyed themselves in the process. In common with radiation damage in recent times, the surviving Hyperboreans were soon faced with the prospect of mutated and otherwise damaged offspring. Showing remarkable resolve, those who had not sustained any apparent genetic damage banded together and effectively removed themselves from the gene pool, a variety of self-imposed quarantine. Any damaged offspring from this group were neutered. This early example of eugenics being to perfect the human genome, was practiced until they were very sure that any defective genes had been bred out. We're doing this today and have made great strides, believe me. The other mutated group eventually died out. Whether they were assisted in this, we'll never find out. The descendants of this seminal mother race were the Celts. It didn't start in Europe. The Celts were ancient Egyptians. Like the ripples on a pond, spread out, colonized various northern areas of the planet. Scots, Irish, Basques, Spanish, Scandinavians, Icelanders, Portuguese, all of these people are of Celtic origin. These desperate nationalities have one common genetic trait, a large percentage of Rh negative blood, which, according to the beliefs of the Thule Society, was a characteristic of the Hyperboreans and their extraterrestrial associates. In recent times, the majority of alien abductees are reportedly from Rh negative blood groups. Is this a possible indication that UFO cultures are tracking their crossbred progeny? Other races and peoples who possess a positive blood type were considered to be racially impure, as positive blood is thought to be contaminated by contact with the ape-evolved strand of human DNA. You know, from the Darwinian thought of man evolving from ape. In Europe, the Theosophists and the Rosicrucians launched a massive brainwashing campaign, selling Europe on Gnostic religions as an alternative to Christianity. In Germany, at the turn of the century, particularly after World War I, many secret societies developed, and one of these groups was the Vril Society. In 1917, few people met in a cafe in Vienna. There was a woman and three men. The woman was a spiritual medium. They met under a veil of mystery and secrecy. They discussed secret revelations, the coming of the new age, the sphere of destiny, the magical violet-black stone, and making contact with ancient peoples and distant worlds. Their source of power? The black sun. an infinite beam of light, they believed, which, through invisible to the human eye, is real and is there. We just can't see it. The Vril emblem was the black sun, a secret philosophy thousands of years old, provided the foundation on which the occult practitioners of the Third Reich, Hitler, would later build. The black sun symbol can be found in many Babylonian and Assyrian places of worship. They depicted the black sun, the Godhead's inner light, in the form of a cross. This is not much different from the German Teutonic Knight's Cross, the Maltese Cross as you know it. With supposed channeled information from extraterrestrials, this Vril Society built the Vril Machine. That was a saucer-shaped machine. It was supposedly an interdimensional or time travel machine. First time it went in the air is 1934. In Litton's book, Becoming Race, subterranean people used the Vril force to operate and govern the world. A few children, armed with Vril-powered rods, said to be capable of exterminating a race of over 22 million, threatening barbarians. Served by robots, and able to fly on Vril-powered wings, the vegetarian Vrilia, as they were known by their own reckoning, racially and culturally superior to everyone else on Earth, above or below ground. At one point, the narrator actually concludes from the linguistic evidence that the Vrilia are descended from the same ancestors as the great Aryan family from which, in varied streams, has flowed the dominant civilization of the world. Yes, this and more is what the leaders of our world are ensconced in and truly believe and are desperately trying to make come true, despite us being here, that is you and I, the general populace, who need to be engineered but more enlightened to their views. This is where political correctness comes in once again. I'm the Spaceman. More on the other side of the break. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm the Spaceman. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails. The only way I communicate, direct them to spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. Thank you again so much. I really appreciate them. I really do. W.E. writes, 15 years ago or so, I was in Washington, D.C. There's a building with its decorative brickwork around the base of the building. If you took the pattern individually, it's a swastika, joined together in a continuous pattern, but it's not obvious. Oh, yes. Washington is full of sun worship symbols. The obelisk. the big monument. The national monument. It's an obelisk. It's Osiris's penis. It's a phallic symbol representing the power of the sun god Osiris. The Vril Society believed that whomever becomes master of the Vril, the force, the power, will be the master of himself and others around him and of the world. The belief was that the world will change and the lords will emerge from the center of the earth. That means the demons. Unless we have made an alliance with them and become lords ourselves, we shall become those demons' slaves on the dung heap that will nourish the roots of the new cities that will arise in this new world order. In the book called The Unknown Hitler, Wolf Schwarzwald says, in Berlin, Haushofer had founded the Luminous Lodge of the Vril Society. The lodge's objective was to explore the origins of the Aryan race and to perform exercises in concentration to awaken the forces of Vril. Haushofer was a student of the Russian magician and metaphysician George Gurdjieff. Both Gurdjieff and Haushofer maintained that they had contacts with secret Tibetan lodges that actually possessed the secret of Superman. And I don't mean the comic book version. The lodge included Hitler, Alfred, Rosenberg, Himmler, Göring, Hitler's later personal physician too, Dr. Morell. It's also known that Aleister Crowley and Gurdjieff wanted and got meetings with Adolf Hitler. Hitler's unusual powers of suggestion become more understandable if you keep in mind that he had access to the secret psychological techniques of Gurdjieff, Crowley, in which in turn were based on the teachings of the Sufis and the Tibetan Lamas, and familiarized him with the Zen teaching of the Japanese Society of the Green Dragon. Oh yes, this encompasses the entire world, this religion. Sun worship. Nazi UFO drawing. Perhaps the most wild claim still circulating about the Vril Society and its offshoot, the Thule Society, is the legends of a secret Nazi UFO program. Presumably the Vril Society established contact with the secret chiefs of the Vrilya themselves and secretly began cooperating with certain German scientists in the 20s. As early as 1936, Hitler was already sending teams of spelunkers to caves and mines all over Europe, searching for this Vrilya. The Nazis had also explored Antarctica extensively during the years of 37 and 38, in search of the fabled hole of the South Pole. They apparently had success, like Admiral Byrd, in discovering these entrances. It was here that some say they made contact with the unknown Superman who lived in the fabled Rainbow City. In this controversial presentation, UFO Secrets of the Third Reich, Vladimir Terzisky draws a conclusion and a connection between the alien beings and such German secret societies as the Tempelhof, the Thule, the Vril Society, and the Black Sun. Terzisky tells of an alien Tudor race that secretly began cooperating with certain German scientists in the late 20s in underground bases, began to introduce their concepts of philosophical, cultural, and technological progress with help from extraterrestrial intelligence. Terzisky figures the Nazis mastered anti-gravity spaceflight, established space stations, accomplished time travel, developed their spacecraft to warp speeds. At the same time, the aliens spread their Mephistophelian ideas into the wider German population through the Thule and Vril societies. Terzisky maintains that anti-gravity research did begin in Germany in the 20s with the first hybrid anti-gravity circular aircraft, the RFZ-1, they called it, constructed by the Vril Society, the first flying saucer. In 1942-43, a series of anti-gravity machines culminated in this giant 350-foot-long cigar-shaped Andromeda space station, which was constructed in old Zeppelin hangars near Berlin. The research and development arm of the SS was called E4, and they were the ones that were assigned that task. A familiar tune by now for those familiar with UFO lore. Many books have claimed this as well, although none of them seem to agree on one particular scenario. A lot of photographs have also turned up, as you would expect, some have been exposed as hoaxes, while the others remain kind of unknown. The Allies confiscated every scrap of Nazi documents, and most are still classified to this very day. And it's well known that the Germans had some out-of-this-world research for the time. Incidentally, the Vril Society's existence, verified in the pilfered records, and is in the possession of course, the British. According to certain ancient texts of Sumeria, extraterrestrials arrived on Earth in ancient times in order to mine gold. These extraterrestrials were called the Sumerian texts Anarchy by the American, or the Sumerian texts called the Anunnaki, which means those who from heaven came to Earth. Now there's people like Zachariah Sitchin who say the ancient Sumerian texts describe the Anunnaki as having arrived on Earth as early as 485,000 years ago, when the only pretense to modern man was a species known as Homo erectus after a mere 40,000 years or so. And after these visitors who had dropped in on the dark-hued Earth had discovered gold in the oceanic waters, the Anunnaki arrived in force under the command of a leader named Enki, or Lord of the Earth, an engineer and a scientist, as well as the firstborn son of the extraterrestrials' chief honchu, Anu. Enki then sets up an operation to mine gold from seawater. Seawater does, in fact, contain notable amounts of gold, by the way, and precious metals. It is, though, a more difficult extraction process than earth mining, based on the output of any such mine. Roughly 30,000 years ago, the powers that be decided that the operation was not producing sufficient quantities of gold, and apparently began a mining operation in the Abzu region known as South Africa. And of course, there's a whole backlog of information actually that is pertaining to this ancient site in the Abzu region that I don't have time to go into tonight. The Sumerian cuneiform texts, though, describe in detail this change in gold production priorities, as well as a profound change in the command structure. You see, Enki was to continue to be in charge of the gold mining operation here on Earth, but was demoted to second in command of the overall Earth mission. The new commander was Enlil, or Lord of the Command, a younger brother of Enki. Oh, here we go with the two brothers fighting over power. And you're absolutely correct. As history repeats itself, even in the past. It's the Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. There's more. Right on the other side of this break. I'm the guy to call space. It's a view from space and Talk Radio, AM 640. It's the final segment in tonight's show. Yes, so let me just recap here for you. The Anunnaki come to Earth looking for gold. The chief, Anu, two sons, one Enki, one Enlil. Younger brother of Enki, Enlil, is given the command to be the new commander down here on Earth. The firstborn son, of Enki's father by his father's half-sister, thus according to the Anunnaki laws of succession, was the true heir apparent. This situation is reflected, by the way, in the book of Genesis, tale of Abraham, Ishmael, Abraham's firstborn son, and Isaac, Abraham's firstborn son of Abraham's half-sister, Sarah. Well, Isaac, firstborn son by Abraham's half-sister Sarah, mention Enki and Enlil at this point, because their sibling rivalry is the same and was to have profound consequences for the human species, even more than providing a background for the Ishmael-Isaac sibling rivalry rift pitting Arabs against Jews is what that did. The Anunnaki, in addition to having an inordinate interest in gold, were extremely long-lived. I mean, they lived over 500,000 years or longer. These extraterrestrial visitors lived a long time. Now, you could surmise that such creatures do things at so much more leisurely rate, as if they are listening to a very different drummer. A drummer who, from the human viewpoint, is virtually comatose. This would explain, for example, the inordinately long period of time intervals between the Anunnaki's first arrival on Earth, the discovery of gold, and the launching of the first gold-producing attempts, and then the change to a South Africa gold mining operation. Continuing along at this blistering pace, blistering meaning of the age of the universe, the Anunnaki, who were mining the gold of ancient South Africa, grew weary of the labors of some 144 years of hard work and mutinied. Imagine, what a bunch of slugs. The mutiny caused more animosity between Enki and Enlil, but also engendered a momentous solution. Enki and his half-sister Ninti proposed to solve the lot of the Anunnaki miners by creating a mixed worker to do the dirty work. This half-breed, this hybrid, was to be conjured up by mixing the genes of the Anunnaki, the gods from other planets, with the genes of a local creature with potential, the Homo erectus, our very own hometown hero. The Sumerian texts, again, go into great detail on the decision and the process of genetically engineering an Anunnaki Homo erectus half-breed in an early version named Adapa. The decision-making description in the Sumerian texts is particularly intriguing in that it's highly reminiscent of Genesis 1, verse 26, wherein God, in the Sumerian version, Enki, said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likenesses." Immediately following, the Sumerian version echoes Genesis 1, verse 27. "And God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." The Sumerian version does make it clear, though, that it was Ninti, the Sumerian goddess, that carried out and carried the first hybrid cross between the Anunnaki and the Homo erectus, called Adapa, to term, after Enki's insistence in genetically engineering the little half-breed. It's probably worth mentioning at this point that the ancient history and biblical scholars now recognize that the book of Genesis is actually a highly condensed, slightly edited version of this original Sumerian text, and had been created circa 600 B.C., while the Hebrews were being held captive in Babylon, where all the Sumerian texts were located. The biblical editing comes mainly in the form of condensing the acts of Enki, Enlil, and Ninti, and perhaps a few others of the Anunnaki, into a single, solitary, omnipotent god. The fact this editing often doesn't make sense doesn't appear to determine any advocates of a strict interpretation of the Bible. For example, a simple reading of Genesis suggests either two or more gods, or a single god with a serious split personality. Even the Jesuit scholars of the Roman Catholic Church have acknowledged that the book of Genesis describes two or more gods. And what's more, an understanding of the Sumerian original version explains, among other things, why God, also known as Enki, proposed to the Anunnaki to "let us make man in our image, after our likeness," and then created man in his own image. The Sumerian and biblical versions also addressed the two creation of man stories in Genesis, for example, verses 1, verses 26 and 27, and 2, verse 7. The Sumerian texts explain the apparent repetition by noting that the first creatures produced by Ninti and Enki, and later by another Anunnaki birth goddess, were incapable of reproducing themselves. In effect, they were hybrids. Like a mule. You cross a horse and a donkey, you get a mule. But you can't cross a mule and a mule to get another mule because they... are not all able to reproduce themselves. The cuneiform tablets then describes how Enki and Ninti solved the problem of the Anunnaki birth goddess, who were having to engage in production-like type pregnancies. Not one of the dream jobs of the times. The solution was to create male and female creatures who were capable of creating their own little mixed workers. Their own little hybrids. It's very interesting that in the second creation story in Genesis, it specifically notes that man becomes a living soul. The ability to procreate was apparently understood to imply the presence of a living soul. The first male of this later version of man, according to the Sumerian texts, was called Adama, whereas in the biblical version, the name Adam appears as the first one created. As for Eve, scientists have theorized in a highly controversial article in Science, a peer-reviewed journal, that a single mother is the grandmother of every living human on the planet, and that this single mother lived at about the time of the Anunnaki mutiny and its aftermath. A subsequent article in the same journal, written by different authors, were able to establish the single father of every living human as every living, ever having lived during the time frame as the mother. For example, Adam and Eve. The Sumerian explanation of a crossbreeding between the extremely long-lived Anunnaki, the gods of the aliens, and comparatively short Homo erectus life span also provides some indirect evidence of why Old Testament patriarchs, from Adam all the way to Noah, the Adams family, lived for roughly 950 years, excepting Enoch, who didn't die, but simply ascended to heaven, and Lamech, who apparently died just before or during the Great Flood and Deluge. Later, after the Flood, the lifespans become less and less, as if the dilution of the Anunnaki genes, possibly in combination of some other factor, begin to take its toll on mankind. This is the first hint of the food at the Tree of Life and longevity, you know. This is the elixir, the fountain of youth the Illuminati are looking for. On the one hand, the genetic engineering that produced mankind utilized the genes of the long-lived Anunnaki as a consequence, gave mankind, initially, at any rate, a very long lifetime. We're playing with genetics exactly that same way. Today, who knows what'll become of that? This has been A View from Space on Talk Radio AM 640. Coast to Coast is next. I'm Space.